Will the young people come and join me? How's everybody doing? I am so glad to see you. Scrunch up, everybody, scrunch up. Good to see you. Come on up. Come on up. I am so happy. You have room? You have room there, sweet. Good job. I'm so glad to see everybody. Okay. Amelia's not coming. Nope, she's heading out. Well, I don't know if you remember because it has been a whole year. And a year when you are young is a very long time. Okay. Well, you know what? That's okay, big guy. Just look at me, Zachy. It's all about up here right now anyway. Okay. A year ago is a very, very long time when you're young. Zach, look at me, buddy. Okay. A year ago is a long time, isn't it, when you're young? Okay. Do you remember what the tree looked like last year? Do you remember that the ornaments that were on the tree, they were like balls? Is that the kind of ornaments you guys put on your trees, like balls and different things? And turtles, okay. Okay. And you know what? I think your mom is very soon going to have a sale on Minions. Yeah, don't you think she's going to have a sale? Well, this year, there's many different things on the tree. Can you see what's over there? You said, are there balls on that tree? There's just, no, there isn't. What are those different things on there? Do you have any idea? Yes, Lucy. What? I know. And do you know what? Those things have a special name. Yes. Oh. I caught you off guard, didn't I, buddy?
There's a cup.
There is a cup. Yeah. What do you think that means? What do you think about the cup? Have any idea? No? What, Josh? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that is right. Absolutely. Those are called, look at my face. Everybody look at me. It's called a chrismon. A chrismon. I know it's a big word because the first part, the chris part actually comes from the Latin, Christos. And the second part comes from another Latin word that we get monogram from. So it's Christ's monograms. And I know you probably don't know what a monogram is, but a monogram is something that it's something that you see, but it means a person. When you look at that, you know it is unique to the person. So if these are chrismons, what do you think that all of these are unique to? Who do you think all of these are unique to? Yes, Liz. That's right, Jesus. And they all mean something. Now, the ladies of the church that are all in the Summer Valley side, okay, they worked very hard to make these, okay? And I'm going to ask you to go and put some of them on the tree as we talk about them, okay? Now, this is the Paschal lamb. This is the Easter lamb, okay? And this reminds us that Jesus was the last Passover lamb to be killed, okay, to take away sins. He is the Paschal lamb. This is an Easter lamb. And so, Jenna, would you go over there and hang that on the tree? Okay. I hope I have enough for everybody here. And this, it is, but you know what's to remind us of? It's to remind us of baptism. Now, you know in the Bible, only adults were baptized, but we remember that little children, we baptize little children in the church because that is a sign of their parents' faith, okay? And so, Bella, would you like to go hang that on the tree? Okay, and this is, can anyone tell me what this is? Yes. It is a bird flying down, but it's a special kind of bird. What kind of bird is it? It is a dove. But you know what? This is a certain kind of dove coming down when it's pointed down. I want you to always remember that this is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Okay, would you go put that on the tree? Okay, now can somebody tell me what this is? Yes, Joshy.
Crown.
It is a crown. And why do you think a crown would be a chrismon?
Because God wears it.
Because Jesus is the king, isn't he? Joshy, go put that on the tree, please. Okay. Okay, can someone tell me what this is? Oh, my gosh, this is a tough one. This is a hard one.
It's the symbol of Jesus.
It is, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he is the beginning of the end, because that's the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. So go hang that up. Okay, now Bella had this one and Joshy had this one. Anybody tell me what this one is? Yes, buddy. It is a cup. And it's to signify communion. You know, because Jesus at the Last Supper, he passed around a chalice and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." And so would you go hang that on the tree, please? Okay. Okay, now this is an easy one. Yes. It is a cross. It is a special kind of a cross in that this is a Celtic cross and this is actually the sun. And the priests many, many years ago wanted to take a pagan symbol, which was the circle, and turn it into a Christian symbol. And they made this Celtic cross. And so now we remember that Jesus is the sun in the cross. Okay, this is a tough one. Anybody got it? Zachy, what you got, buddy?
Rocket.
It's not a rocket. Anybody got it? Yeah, Zachy. It isn't. It is the Trinity. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to get all of you in confirmation. Okay, this is the Trinity. This is a sign of the Trinity. And the Trinity, look at my face, is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Zachy, would you go put that? Would you hand that to the Zach behind you? There you go. We have several Zachys. Okay, anybody can tell me what this one is? Yes, Blake? It is the fish, but it's a special Greek fish that we call ichthus. Ichthus. And it's when all the Christians were hiding in Greece and they had a secret way to identify each other. And that's because the Greek word for fish, which is ichthus, stands for the first letter, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So, Blake, would you go hang that up? That's why we have... Oh, thank you. You're a big helper. Okay, and somebody tell me, yes, Caleb? You're going with what?
Maybe like the...
Well, how about the Star of Bethlehem?
Yeah.
Oh, so close. Yes, okay, go hang that up. Okay, now, different kind of dove. Anybody got an idea about this one? Have you got an idea? Molly, do you think? What do you think? Okay, what is it? Yes, Lucy. This is another kind of dove. Always when it looks like this, look at me. Dove of peace. Okay, it always looks like that. All right? Okay, anybody can tell me what this is? Yes. It is an anchor. Why do you think an anchor would be a sign of Christ, Christ's monogram? Why do you think so? Yes. It's a hard one. It's tough because Christ is our anchor in the storms of life. And you know what? That doesn't mean anything to you now, but I want you to remember that Jesus will always be your anchor in life. Okay, would you go hang that on the tree? Okay, oh, we have another one here. Yes. It is a star. This is another one of the stars of Bethlehem. Did you have a choice, a turn yet? No, I didn't think you did. Okay. All right. Well, you're wearing that same shirt. You fooled me. Okay. Faking me out. I'm old and I get things mixed up. Okay, somebody, what's this? Yes. That's right. Would you go hang that up? Good. You are such a big helper. This is very, very hard cross. This is a very important cross. This circle is supposed to be the earth. And many years ago, this was the pancreator. Anyway, this would be some more Latin stuff, and this would be because Jesus is the head of the world. You already had a choice.
I know, but I just want to say something.
Okay, say something for me.
That looks like a smiley face.
A smiley face. It does look like a smiley face. I got to give it to you. Smiley face, smiley face. Joshy, you already had a turn. Her didn't have a turn. Okay, you didn't have a turn. There you go, big guy. Hang that on the tree. Go hang it.
I still need to tell something.
What do you have to tell us?
I actually know
that.
God's birthday.
It is. It's Jesus' birthday. What, Zachy? It is a candle because Jesus is the... He is. He's the light of the world. Okay. You didn't have a chance, did you, Lacey? Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. And actually, this is also Jesus. This is the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp unto my feet. Who didn't have a chance? Jackie, did you not have a chance? Oh, my gosh. I thought you did too, buddy. Forgive me. Oh, somebody tell me why would a heart be a symbol of Jesus? Yes. Oh, he does. He does love you. But you had a churn already, didn't you? Yes, but you didn't have a churn, did you, Kenneth? Okay, because Jesus loves us. Thank you. This is a special star, a special kind of star. The Jewish people use this star for them. Star of David. Star of David. Oh, so close. Okay. Star of David. Who didn't have a chance yet? Okay, Molly. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, now, come on, guys. All right. All right. Come on. Somebody tell me. Lucy. Yes, it's in a manger. That's right. Little head. Little Jesus head right there. See? Okay, who didn't have a chance? Who didn't have a chance yet? Nobody did. Okay, well, go ahead, buddy. All right. Okay, now this is another one that is the same thing that I said. It starts with a T. Trinity, that's right. Good job. You get a holy card. This is a hard one. The Crusaders put this on their chest when they went to fight, the Muslims in the Holy Land. What
armor.
It was on their armor. Do you know what that is, Molly? Well, this is the Jerusalem cross. And this is supposed to be the four gospels, the sign of the four gospels. Okay, somebody want to hang that up there? All right. Okay.
Lutheran school was Jerusalem.
It was Jerusalem Lutheran? Oh, yeah. Is that right? Mrs. Oh, did you enjoy it? Awesome. Okay, this is just a round cross. It's a special kind of a cross, okay? Do you want to go hang that up, please? Okay. It is a letter.
What? It's a slingshot.
A slingshot. Yes. A what? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Mrs. Mont says it's the thieves' cross. On either side of Jesus? You know what? Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to remember that. We're going to have to look that one up. Thank you. Thank you. It's like, you know what? Your guess was as good as mine on that one. Okay. Somebody tell me what this is of.
Oh, I know that.
It is the earth. And why do you think that this would be in our chrismons? Why do you think, Kenna? That's actually better than what I was going to say. Jesus is going to come back to meet us on earth. You are awesome. Okay. Does anybody know what this is? P-A-X. Yes. Pax? Pax? Another Latin? More Latin? You guys, your Latin's rusty, isn't it? It means peace. It means peace. Okay. Okay. All right. Up. Oh, now we're getting in. Now what have we got? Light of the world? Okay, here you go. Here, you take that one. Oh, here's it. Here, Bella, you can go hang that one up. Okay, do you want to go hang that one up? No, this one. Okay, first three letters of Jesus, IHS. Okay, IHS. Okay, all right. Joshua, did you not do one?
Wait, I did that.
Oh, he's confused. Okay, there you go. All right. Okay, now, somebody tell me. The angel, why do we care about angels, especially this time of year, Lucy? Yes, yes, the angels announced the birth, yes. Awesome, awesome. Oh, here is one of our last ones. Somebody tell me what this, yes, and what is the butterfly for?
Why?
What do you, what?
I heard that it was like people that are dead. Sometimes.
Like a rebirth?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Peace?
No, butterfly's not peace. What do you think of butterfly?
Like, God's world has all this stuff.
All of creation?
Yeah.
That would be such a good guess, but that's not it. What happens? What is a butterfly before it's a butterfly? Yes, what? It's a caterpillar, and what happens? It goes through a change. And you want to know what? Jesus changes us from caterpillars into butterflies. Okay. He changes his shape. Blake, did you have another turn? Who didn't have a second turn? Okay, there you go. Okay. Okay, and this one, this is, you know what, it isn't a sun. It's another kind of star. It is actually another kind of, what is it? This is Arminian. Well, my Arminian is also rusty. Okay, this is the Arminian star. Was there an explanation for this, Susan? Theirs might be. We will have to look it up. Okay. Okay. Who didn't have a second choice? Pass. Okay. Now, thank you so much for being patient, but I was just having too much fun. Okay. Oh, a lot of people did, and I'm so sorry about that. Okay. Okay. Come on back and let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you for this time of year where we can look all over the place and be reminded of the coming of your Son. And we pray that we would have a wonderful time and lots of fun this time of year, but that we wouldn't forget what this year is really about and this time of year. And that's about your Son and our Savior, that baby that came to be born in a manger so he would know what we feel like in life. So we want to thank you for that, and we pray that you would always remind us as we look at all the decorations of the season. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, right behind Lucy there, if you get a... It always feels kind of strange starting Advent in November. But the stores are already decorated for Christmas, you know, so why not? I hope the department stores won't think that we're trying to ruin their party by throwing a little religion into this season. It reminds me of this thing that I read in USA Today about, it was around this time, I can't remember when it was, a couple years ago. Authorities in Bell Harbor, Florida, they had to put a GPS locator on the baby Jesus because the previous baby Jesus had been stolen, even though it had been bolted down. And Dina Cellini, she said, "I don't anticipate this will ever happen again." She oversees the display. She said, "But we may need to rely on technology to save the Savior." And then she added that Mary and Joseph were also going to be outfitted with GPSs so that they would not be in danger of being stolen either. So that's kind of interesting, little interesting factoid there. You know, someone stole the baby Jesus. And I'm really not surprised because people are always trying to steal Christmas. But I'm still thankful that you are here today to reflect on the meaning of Christ coming into the world. Now, I thought just to add a little interest this morning that I was going to use a popular Christmas song. After all, what would Advent and Christmas be without music? You know that studies show that listening to Christmas music just boosts our spirits. And it also, statistically, this is statistically proven, regulates your heart rate. It regulates your breathing, which in turn reduces stress. Now, what that means, of course, is that listening to Christmas music is good for us. Now, there are some Christmas songs that I decided to eliminate from consideration this morning. Songs like "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer." According to Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, one survey said that "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer" is the most requested Christmas song ever and has sold more than 10 million copies. However, it also says that some polls rate it as the most hated Christmas song of all time. Can't imagine why. But anyway, I've decided not to use it in this morning's message. I decided to use instead the familiar first line in "Santa Claus is Coming to Town," because I thought it was such a good fit for this Sunday and first Sunday in Advent. Now, of course, it is to me, it has always sounded to me like the best effort that a parent has to get children to behave themselves during the next few weeks. And that is, "Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. And especially the line, he's making a list, he's checking it twice, he's going to find out who's naughty or nice. You know, there are some people that think of God that way. And they read that kind of a warning into our lesson from the Gospel of Mark. Speaking of his return, Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father." Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each one his assigned task, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Every year, the first Sunday in Advent is about the second coming of Christ. Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for his death and resurrection, but he also wanted them to know he was coming back for them. Jesus said in our lesson from the gospel regarding his return that we are to live watchful, that we are to live in a spirit of watchfulness, that we are supposed to be like children eagerly awaiting for Christmas Day. We are waiting for the Lord to return. But we need to put the Lord's words into perspective. Do you know, many well-meaning followers of Christ have abused this teaching on his return. First of all, Jesus was really insistent that nobody knows when this cataclysmic event is going to happen. The angels in heaven don't know. Even Christ himself doesn't know. So when someone asks you, when will Christ return? When will history come to its climax? When will God's kingdom be established? The answer, the Bible answer is, we don't know. The early church thought it would be in their lifetime. It's been over 2,000 years. Why does the Lord tarry? We don't know. We shouldn't be surprised because there's tons of stuff that the Lord has not revealed to us. You know, we don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. A couple weeks ago in Paris, when those young people went to that concert, they had no idea what was about to happen. I'm pretty certain if they would have known, they wouldn't have gone to that concert. Have you given any thought to the people in the coffee shop who had a weapon pointed at their heads and then the weapon jammed? We do not know what the next moment may bring. Imagine the person who couldn't get a taxi, cursing his luck that he was going to be late, only discovered later that his bad luck had saved his life. Be careful about how you evaluate your life. We live in an uncertain world. Don't waste time listening to someone who's got it all figured out just when Christ is going to return. We do not even know for certain how this day is going to end. So we just need to let that go. We need to trust God, and we need to let it go. Jesus was very intent that nobody knows when his return will be. And we really can't say much about what's going to happen when that day does come. Years ago, we were all consumed. All of us were really consumed with the Left Behind series. We love that series. My dad got saved reading that series. And it was wonderful. And don't forget Hal Lindsey's classic, The Late Great Planet Earth. That was a book years ago. But you probably don't remember this one, but here's an oldie but goodie. 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Definitely Occur in 1988. Now, these books were written with more than a little research. But honestly, Scripture does not give us a lot of details about Christ's return. And much of what we do have is written in kind of a code that has been widely misinterpreted or interpreted, as the case may be. For example, did you know that some said Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist? You remember that? Ronald Wilson Reagan, 6 letters in each of his names, 666. Well, what more evidence do you need? At one time, the website of the PBS show Frontline carried a list of prominent figures. All had been labeled the Antichrist at one time or another. Some were predictable, you know, Hitler. Then it ranged from Yasser Arafat and Saddam Hussein to Mikhail Gorbachev because of that strange mark on his forehead that people said was the mark of the beast. You know, but how about Reagan? How about John F. Kennedy? He was on the list. Kennedy was on the list because he received 666 votes at the 1956 Democratic Convention, and a head wound killed him. Bill Gates was there because he was going to enslave the world through computers. And even the old folk singer Pete Seeger was on that list, but no explanation was given. Now, the parts of the Bible that foretell the end of time, it's called the apocalyptic literature, the scholars call it that, is written in a way that is open to a lot of interpretation. And it is all pre-space age imagery. It's a possibility that if it had been written today, instead of Revelation 19:14, describing the armies of heaven going to war at the end of time, you know, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean, you know, maybe they would have been coming in jets and flying saucers if it would be written in the vernacular of our time. Horses don't have a chance in modern warfare. The writer was writing using signs and symbols from the world that they knew. But don't look to Revelation for a literal description of how Christ will return. You know, don't let fearmongers cause you anxiety because we have very little information about how that's going to go down. Now, certainly we know that the return of Christ will mean the end of life as we know it. Certainly we know it's going to be dramatic. But other than that, we don't know when it's going to happen, and we don't know the details of what's coming. So instead of worrying about it, what we need to do is focus on how Christ wants us to live in the here and now. And that's the purpose of today's lesson from the Gospel of Mark. It's supposed to remind us of two foundational truths. One, the future is in God's hands and not ours. And two, we can trust God for that future. Truth one, the future is in God's hands, not ours. Just like we don't know when Christ's return is going to be, we don't know what the future may hold. Some people are pretty excited about the future. They see cure for cancer. They see cures for all kinds of diseases. They see human beings living in really, really good health to 100, maybe 200 years. The World Future Society released their forecast for the next 25 years. Some of the forecasts were pretty encouraging. They predict by the year 2040, the world will have 1 billion millionaires. Now, 1 billion doesn't buy what it used to. Okay. But that's a lot of wealthy people. I hope you're one of them. I hope somebody here is one of them. And don't forget to tithe. Okay. They also forecast a new process to remove salt from salt water to make it drinkable water that will be at a much less cost. It costs a lot of money now to do that. It will be at a much less cost, than ever thought possible. They predict huge strides in artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, nanotechnology, and robotics. But also, they think we're going to have another Cold War, going to be terrible, and that terrorism, of course, will be the new battlefront, and I don't think it took a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Also, deep concern, widespread flooding, and the possibility that water will replace oil as the most precious commodity on Earth. Now, how much of that's really going to happen? No one knows. Okay, but here's what we do know. The same God who sent a tiny baby over 2,000 years ago to redeem our world is the same God who holds the future. He does have the whole world in his hands. God loves what he created, and he loves it with a love that we cannot understand. So here is what you and I need to do. We need to make good decisions about the future to the best of our ability, and we need to trust the rest to God. Because the future is in God's hands, not ours, and we can trust God for whatever may come. Now, this does not mean that we can ignore Christ's words about his return. That would just be foolish. He wants us to live expectantly. But you know, it would be a little weird for us to be consumed with worry when Jesus himself is the one that constantly reassured his disciples to fear not, for I have overcome the world. Christ will return someday, but it will be an occasion for rejoicing, not of heartbreak and not of fear. The day is coming when Christ will return for his own. And it's going to be a grand and a glorious day. So live expectantly. Get ready. No one knows when it will be, but be on guard and live every day to the fullest. No one knows what shape it's going to take, but what we do know is that God is still in charge. And that he can be trusted. And he said, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we pray that we would not look to the right or look to the left, that we would keep our eyes on the eastern sky. But Father, we pray that it would not keep us from living every day to the fullest, because it might be our last. We pray it in the name of the one who holds the future, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. We want to thank Johnny for bringing the good word at the Christmas tree lighting. Well done, sir. It was awesome. And everyone who helped with that. And don't forget, if you do not have time to cook Christmas cookies, I know there's very few of those people here today. You can buy them, and they're homemade by the ladies of the church, and that's next Saturday morning. I don't remember. Nine to two, and have lunch while you're at it. So next Saturday morning, you can get some Christmas cookies. Our benediction is taken from the book of Hebrews. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the final day approaching. Amen.